episode 189. Welcome back to Steel and Naz, presented by Hedge Better. We're here off a high hiatus. Wow, that was a tongue twister.
Wow.
But we're back Friday, well June, not Friday, today's Wednesday, June 11th.
This kid is in fucking shambles.
Shambles right now. We've got a lot on the horizon here. I don't think we've been talked since, I think we were in game five of the Celtics-Knicks. We've gone pretty deep after that. Just in shambles for the basketball team. We'll give you a kind of an update of what we think they should do going forward with this luxury tax, a new owner, the whole nine yards, Tatum hurt, Brown just got surgery today. A lot going on. Patriots talk. A very mid-wide receiver room outside of Stephon Diggs. I mean, his nightlife, he could be, you know, converted into mid. But who gets cut there? Just an early reaction. A little bit, you know, blunders of Stephon Diggs. I mean, that was fun. Boats, Miami, ass. Like, what else? What else you want?
So exactly how I want my number one wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a diva, you just signed up for one. Go get it.
Yeah, you know, like, I like the U. I'm a pro Michael Irvin guy, so I'm fucking...
For sure.
Playmakers.
We're into the midst of baseball season now. As a Red Sox fan, you're kind of up in arms, but also really excited for the future to come here. You know, front office, you name it. They're not playing the baseball you want. They're under 500, but they just called up the number one prospect in the MLB in Roman Anthony. Meyer has been on the team for over a week. There's been a lot going on. The Yankees have been the best team, I think, in the American League, so they've been killing it. Detroit's been good, too. I think they're right there for the best record there. Mm-hmm. Marco Sturm has been hired by the Boston Bruins. That's breaking news in the past week. I heard him on the radio, Felger and Maz. Steel and Naz, Felger and Maz, you know which one's better, but we'll lead you on that. We'll get there. UFC, I didn't really watch any, but Sean O'Malley loses again. Steel's got you covered. Lights Lang back in the ring for his pro fight. And then we have the NHL Stanley Cup Finals between the Panthers and the Oilers. And then you get the Pacers and the Thunder in the NBA Finals. So two, you know, both 1-1, now 2-1 in favor of the Panthers on the Stanley Cup. But good tilt so far. Maybe some TV reviews at the end. But first of all, I want to – this should be the lead of the show. Love you, Patrick J. Foley. But, you know, a first week for our new sponsor here, Drifter's Kitchen and Bar, located at 1464 Hancock Street in the heart of Quincy Center here.
Great place.
Great place. Probably best pepperoni pizza with, I think, hot honey. That I've seen in quite some time. I just want to give that we'll give that a review. I think Magic does more of our review, so maybe we'll give him the nod.
Yeah, the pizza's good. The wings there. Are good.
They got oysters on deck. I had, during the overtime Friday night, I was there, had a nice espresso martini. Shout out to Mr. Martini's. I was looking to see when they did their most recent, but I don't think it's been quite some time. I'm giving that one, you know, just from here, from last Friday, at least like an 8.2. It was pretty good stuff.
Love to see it. Love to see it.
Bartender's doing well there. I wasn't really in there for the idle hour. It was big Clash of the Ash guys before I was 21 years old. I mean, that's no secret. I think they got blown up for that. But Drifters is here to stay. Looks like a great spot, great atmosphere, great people running the place.
Yeah, get in and enjoy.
Great opportunity to go get a beer any night there. Great opportunity. Since I put a lot of enthusiasm into that, how about our guy from the law office, Patrick J. Foley? I think he just turned 41 years old the other day. Big shout out for his birthday.
Yes, happy birthday.
If you're looking for legal proper representation for first-time home buyers or just whatever it is to, you know, across the laws of real estate, kind of thing you want, macho man. If you see a guy running who's at least over 6'2" in Quincy, Massachusetts, chances are it's Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. Gets the job done whenever you need him, so hit him up when you got him.
Damn right.
I'm on a little bit of a roll here. We'll get on to, I guess we'll lead it off with the Patriots here, since we're an all sports podcast. We love, you know, gallons of milk, things like that. But, you know, this is a football town. Let's be honest. This is six Super Bowls. You know, we're past that, but there's a lot of optimism going into the season. You get rid of rookie guy Jerod Mayo, which I don't think it was understandably fair, but I think it was needed. You bring in a guy like Mike Vrabel, who's really going to turn this around. But the question we have tonight, it's a pretty mid wide receiver room outside of Stephon Diggs, who makes the team, who doesn't. They just started mandatory mini camp, I think today or yesterday. Drake May's looking good with, you know, not really too much defenders on him. We'll see how that goes.
Yep, it's early. It's early, but looks good.
But we're going to go through the receivers today, just an early prediction. And there's at least, I think, I want to say 9 guys who can make this team. They're probably only going to have 7. You know, I think for the shoe-ins this year, it has to be Stephon Diggs. Damaro Douglas is clearly their best, like, drafted Patriots guy so far.
Yeah.
I think he's shooting on number 2. Kyle Williams is a rookie. You're going to take him. I think he's showed a lot of promise with his wheels so far. And then Matt Collins, I think, because he does it on, you know, that side and the special team side of the ball. I think that's 4 in. But then you got 3 spots, would you say, for about, what, 5 guys? So you got Kayshon Boutte. You got Kendrick Bourne. You got Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, all guys who played on the team last year. And then you have this undrafted free agent who signed with them, Efton Chisholm III, who's, you know, showed out.
Yeah, he looks good.
I think he's caught over like 50 balls. They're comparing him already to Cooper Kupp. I don't think that's really a fair assessment, but we'll go.
But
we'll,
no,
we'll
you love to see that, though, yeah, from the undrafted guy. You love to hear that.
And you know what? No one really outside of – I think Kayshon Boutte deserves some credit. I think he really got things going. I get they went 4-13 in the last year. But he really came. I think he played pretty well down the stretch there. Kendrick Bourne's been given a lot of chances, so we'll see how that works out. Jalen Polk is a second-round, second-year guy. I don't know how you're really going to – you know, I'm looking at this projection here on Nesson.com. Kind of ironic how they just got rid of their whole – digital staff, so they still have an article out. But
yeah, it's still there.
But Jalen Polk is a second round guy. I don't know how you get rid of a guy like that unless he really stinks. I get that they're trying to create a whole new culture, and if he's not part of that, then whatever. And then Javon Baker, who was, you know, I think he was fifth, sixth round pick last year. He's going to have an uphill battle making the team.
I mean, none of those guys that you just mentioned, like, have done anything to, like, deserve to be on the team.
Yeah.
You could mix and match all of that, you, like, 5. Like, you, that could go either way.
You could mix in Stephon Diggs just off the field.
No, we love that. We
yeah, I was going to say, although I kind of support it. I'm not going to go on a public microphone and say I approve of drugs because that's just crazy. But, like, everything else, like, he's on a boat. He's having fun. He's with his girlfriend.
Multi-millionaire, parties hard in off-season. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, honestly, that's just street cred, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He goes and gets 100 receptions, 1,000 yards. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. He said in his interview yesterday, he doesn't tell people his personal life if he doesn't know them personally. And I thought he couldn't answer the question any better. Yeah, I'm like, all right, with all due respect, fuck off. That's what he said.
Pretty much, yeah. He said it's a tough Instagram, though. Like, you got
to
be better.
Yeah, he said Mike Vrabel knows everything that he was supposed to know. So, I mean, he told the right guy. I'm sure they're in the right space right now. Doesn't seem like in Mike Vrabel interviews, though, that, like, he's really convinced that, you know, Stephon Diggs is going to be their right-hand man, which, you know, all, you know, fingers are kind of pointing to that if this is going to be a successful season.
Oh, yeah. No, he has to get 100 receptions and fucking, like, 1,200 yards for, like, this to, like, work.
But I think it's going to open things up. And like, we're talking about receivers today. We'll get to different, you know, subjects during the week of talking about, I mean, different weeks of talking about the Patriots. But they're going to have a dynamic duo in the running game that's going to open up, hopefully, you know, shit for Drake May. Because I think at the end of the day, I'm probably going to reiterate this every time we come out here. But I think Mike Vrabel's going to be having this defense playing tip-top shape. But if Drake May can't, you know, go from this spot to the next, to the top spot, at least, like, as a quarterback itself, it's going to be tough for this offense to move.
Oh, yeah. And Henderson, he's a great blocker, too.
Yeah.
He's a great pass blocker. So that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Because these receivers, I mean, most of them, even whether they make or don't make the team, they need fucking help. And Stephon Diggs helps with that a lot, like getting open.
Yeah.
Like, none of those guys can beat someone one-on-one, really.
No. You can even see the highlights on Twitter or something. He's always beating someone. It seems like
Diggs can put you, like, he can ruin your highlight, really.
He reminds me of, like I know this guy was better than him, but, like, not – but he seems like an Antonio Brown. I think that's, like, the way he plays.
Oh, yeah. No, he's at his highest. He's, like, a top 5 receiver.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He's coming off of injury. He has had Josh Allen. And
yeah,
shit, so.
But he's coming off an injury. He was just on a team that has, you know, 2 other big options besides him. Now he's coming here as the, like, there's no question about it, the guy what is he going to do? I'd say his career is back against the wall. You look at a guy like Odell Beckham a couple years ago. He signed a contract with the Ravens for like $15 million. He didn't perform at all. He hasn't even sniffed really like a contract over minimum. If this year goes south for Stephon Diggs, I think that's a great comparison of where he could be.
Yeah, definitely could be.
He could go one way or the other. That's going the other.
And they are like the same, like, no one wants to give you that much because you're also a lot of like baggage.
Yeah, diva.
But
half these guys, like even like you look at the Cowboys just made a trade with for George Pickens. Yeah, that guy was a pain in the ass, but he's pretty damn good.
Yeah. I mean, the Steelers are one of the franchises. Like, they'll fucking get rid of you.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not doing what the Steelers want you to do, like the Steeler way.
No, they
basically
were,
like, they'll fucking send you.
They were all in to start Mason Rudolph. They'll fucking Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Sign
oh
the
yeah. No. Exactly. No. The Steelers are like, we're going on to next year. No, like, whether you're fucking insane. In the room or not. Yeah. Like.
But I think I love.
I respect that.
Last episode, I think we did like a win loss record going through. You having one of the worst schedules in the NFL with, you know, an opportunity for these guys trying to get better. This seems like a lot of room for positivity, especially when you look at the, you know, landmark of Boston sports nowadays. How, you know, the Bruins are fucking the worst team. The Red Sox haven't played well this season yet, and the Celtics are going through it right now. So you talk about who's the best team in Boston right now? Like, possibly you.
Yeah, right, yeah, fucking, yeah. Do we still have the Revolution?
Yeah, it don't count. The Free Jacks, you go in the playoffs, that counts.
Three-peat.
Kyle didn't start the other day. I'm kind of upset about that. I got to get on.
Hey, whatever it takes at this point.
Yeah.
We're here for ranks.
We're going to get back in the locker room. Got to get back in the locker room. So that's kind of our Patriots. Oh, yeah. What do we think of? Yeah, we talked about the boat. We were fine with it. Yeah, I think that's fine.
And we also have Josh Dobbs looking great.
Looking great.
They were talking. He went like 10 for 13.
Yeah.
Just love it.
Forehead's looking dapper. XXL fucking helmet's great.
Buckle up. Can't wait for some garbage time touchdowns. Once he throws a touchdown, can't wait.
This is my last thing on the Patriots. But like, you kind of look at it, they didn't like, I love Josh Dobbs. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's fun. But they didn't really plan. Like, if Drake May gets hurt, they're fucked. Like, they didn't get like a guy in the draft. They even like a who's the guy who
that's what the Vikings thought, and then fucking Josh Dobbs set the world on fire
for two weeks. No, but that's what I'm saying. If Drake May goes down, that's why his style has to be different from last year. Last year, he was just ready to take on any linebacker.
Oh, yeah. Well, part of that also goes to protection. Like, because a lot of the times he ran away was because he fucking had to run away. like he was trying to like do a like QB draw or something. Yeah. Like, he was running for his life.
That's fair. But when you run up the middle, that's tough. You got to run towards the side.
Oh, yeah. No,
you get down. I hope just the coaches are just saying get down.
I'm sure they are. Yeah. I'm sure they are.
Because that's what it's all about. Second, we're going to lead with, since it's in June right now. Why do I have Friday, June 10th here? It's Wednesday, June 11th. You're clearly up to something bad. Baseball minute. Red Sox took 2 or 3 from the Yankees last weekend. But the
Nine games back.
But the Yankees continue to thrive. Not the Padres. Shout out intern Brian there. Let's see. At this point, we are only 3.5 games back of the wild card. To Steele's point, 9 games back of the AL East with another 3 games set with the Yankees this weekend. You know, injuries have definitely been an issue with the Red Sox. But at the end of the day, I mean, Tristan Casas, he was already hitting .160. Bregman definitely hurts. You need that guy in your lineup. I think he's going to be back pretty soon. But they finally called the kids up.
And that was an outstanding play by Roman Anthony in right field the other night. That was so good. You waited so long for this kid to just absolutely boot it.
For as good a player he's going to be, he might have had one of the worst debuts I've ever seen.
No, it was tough.
He went like 0-4, 0-5.
No, I thought like on the first time I saw the replay, I just kind of saw him like running back like he missed it. I thought it was like a line drive. And it was a fucking ground ball. I was like, wow.
I'm confident I would have made that. I'm confident.
Yeah, no, that's and like, yeah, you would.
Yeah. He hit some balls hard. Like he's.
Oh, no, he's going to rake.
His exit velo, you know, he.
Because doesn't he kind of play everywhere? Isn't that like kind of his thing? Or is he a pure right fielder?
He's been he's been playing center and left, dude. He hasn't played played a day in right.
Well, that's still
no. This is my beef with the Boston Red Sox here, and I'm gonna throw. They're tied 3-3 right now in the bottom fifth. They're putting on, but they really don't finish games. I have a problem. I'm gonna start with Alex Cora. I just like the way he's managing, the way he. It tries to stick with these starters who haven't really played. If you look at, you know, they're five starters right now in terms of Crochet should always have a good day. And then you have Walker Buehler, Lucas Giolito, Brian Bello, and then Hunter Dobbins pitched the other night. That's really their top five right now. All four of those guys have been complete hit or miss. I mean, Crochet's had a good year so far. But my number one thing is the lefty-lefty matchup. Marcelo Meyer, they called him up like last week. And every time a lefty's pitching, they don't play him. They play Abraham Toro, which to Cora's defense has played pretty well. But if you're going to make these guys – this guy's playing third base. He's been a shortstop his whole career. Roman Anthony, he's been a center, left fielder. You're going to put him in right. If you can take the chance – even Christian Campbell. Christian Campbell's been a outfielder for the most part, playing second base the whole season. If you're going to give these guys a chance in a position they're not used to, you're not going to give them a chance at the plate just because that guy's throwing fucking lefty.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That's
especially,
nuts.
Yeah.
I honestly think as much as I am a Red Sox hater right now, I hate the way they're doing business. Guys getting hurt, you can't control that, but I just don't think they have the right philosophy. They don't have the right guys in the right spots. But I think at the end of the day, they still have a chance to do something.
Well,
they're three games behind .500, but they're only 3.5 out of a playoff spot. You credit definitely the AL for just sucking ass besides the Yankees and the Tigers for the record. But they do have guys where if they reach their potentials can get to a point where, 87 to 93 is going to get you in the playoffs. And I think that the third wild card, I think absolutely.
Teams get hot, man. Teams get hot.
How hot though? Look at right now. The people in third place right now, they are sitting at 35-31. Like that basically, if they play .500 the rest of the way, that's right where I'm at.
Yeah, but you see, you got one team that isn't in division there. So they could like the top two could pummel you.
That's fair.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you basically have, like, you have to worry about the AL East there, not the rest of the league.
Yeah. Another thing that I'm, like, thinking in my head right now, too, how whack is it is that the Yankees and Red Sox first game this season was fucking, like, June 5th?
Yeah. No, tough.
That's insane.
There should be.
I didn't even know half the Yankees
one
lineup.
One series.
Just because I don't watch the Yankees. Like, Judge is having a year, but you don't know that, like, I mean, and I do, who's the lefty there that's had a great season, the center fielder, right fielder.
Trent Grisham?
Yeah, yeah. If you don't watch Yankee, if you don't know sports, like you don't know that guy's having a career year.
Yeah, but like, dude, I don't know, like Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah.
Jason Dominguez.
DJ LeMahieu fucking cranking one the other night.
Yeah, shout out fucking Hunter Dobbins for his fucking chirp that like if he would retire before being a Yankee.
Yeah, and got taken
at his
deep.
First pitch to Aaron Judge went
Boom.
To the fucking moon.
Boom.
Absolute skyrocket.
That was incredible. Honestly, shout out, yeah, Aaron Judge. That was, like, very necessary. Although I do love, like, Hunter Dobbins was just like, yeah, no, I said what I said. Like, he died on that.
Yeah, just got taken
died
to
on that ledge.
Again.
Why not?
It's and fine. Shout out the Yankees. They're playing the pitcher with leading the AL, I believe, in ERA, Chris Bubich, and they got 5 runs in the second. So, fuck him.
Last name, Boob?
Bubich.
Bubich.
That could be mispronounced, but it is like B-U-B-I-C.
So Aaron Judge is leading his team right now, batting .396, 24 dingers, and 58 ribs.
That's a good year.
I would say that's a fucking good year. And then tomorrow night, Thursday night, they're going to be playing at Kauffman Stadium, Kansas City Royals. Cheapest ticket, $7.
That's like must-see.
You can get in
yeah.
to see a future Hall of Famer for $7.
Yeah. No, they brought up, which, like, I wasn't even thinking of because Judge is always, like, moonshots and home runs. But, like, they were, like, at his current pace, like Ichiro's, like, hits in a season's, like, on the table.
Yeah.
Which is, like, nuts.
No, absolutely insane. That's, like, crazy. Like, a guy that big, you
yeah,
would...
Yeah, no, exactly, you that would, size. You don't
you
even
think
of that. You
would think he would bat, like, .230 to .250. You know what I mean? Like, I have it's so funny. I'm a 10-year-old coach for a club. And this kid he's probably like 6'2", like probably hasn't grown into himself at all. Has a longer swing than Aaron Judge, and the whole time I'm like, this kid's gonna bat like 200, probably hit like 10 dingers.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing.
Yeah, except he's hitting 400 and fucking this dude's hitting 400 on fucking June 12th. That's crazy.
To that kid's credit, he had like 10 home runs and like struck out 40 times.
yeah. Tough scenes.
No, it's a good happy medium. That's what you want out of a ball player, you know. How about we talked about the Yankees, Red Sox. Seems like things are going to blow up pretty soon if they don't get it together. I'm hoping Bregman – it's going to be fun when Bregman and Abreu come back. What are they going to do with the kids? Are they going to call them back down? And they're even calling for Christian Campbell's head before Marcelo and Roman Anthony's head.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, one of them has to go down for Bregman. That's just like – that's not up for debate. Like,
yeah, but you get rid of a fucking – longtime veteran who like doesn't really contribute anymore for these kids instead of setting them down when they're not even playing that bad. I just don't.
Well, how much would they play if he's being replaced?
If he plays third base, they could put Meyer at second base, move Christian Campbell out of the way. They should do that.
Then Christian Campbell would go down?
Yeah, potentially. Or you like somehow fix him in the outfield playing as a platoon. But like at the end of the day, like,
you got to do something.
Someone's moving somewhere.
Yeah.
Because Bregman's playing third base. I don't care what you think.
Yeah. That's
Actually, I've buried the lead. Oh, Rafael Devers refused to play any part of the field, but he's going to make the All-Star game as a designated hitter. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. I mean,
stuck to his guns.
Yeah.
Yep.
And got lucky. Stan's been hurt for the DH spot.
For the DH spot.
That helps.
Well, I think
even if he sucked, like, that's just votes.
The
like,
first 10 days, I think he was 1 for 32
with like 31 Ks.
And then since then, he was like, he's been like 350 with he has over 10 bombs at least.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of surprises, I feel like, in this. I mean, Cal Raleigh's on pace for fucking 65 home runs.
Yeah. He's like low key. At this point in the AL, they're like, okay, we should have an MVP for the second best player.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean,
because Judge is just going to win it again. And it's not going to be fairly close.
As of right now, yes.
Unless, God forbid, he gets hurt.
Yeah, easy.
You would hate to see that. That would really, you know, dismantle the team. You really hope the Yankees.
Rooting for injuries is fucked up, dude.
I would never root for injuries.
Yeah, look at that smirk.
I have no smirk. I'm just having a good day. Golfed at the Quincy Youth charity golf tournament today.
What a cover up. What a segue into charity fucking.
1 o'clock golf. Shotgun start. I think we went 9 under. And I hit a couple big putts. Other than that, I didn't really do much. But, you know, shout out me, because I did see yesterday 98.5, the sports hub had one in Brook Meadow and Canton. And Felger and Madison didn't show up for their shift. So I showed up for my shift. How about you guys? How about you guys?
Dang. Shots fired.
I mean, I'm still wearing the same thing. Not a bad get up.
Also, he's shit faced and doesn't know what day it is.
No, I know what's going on. I'm doing just fine.
No, yeah, the script just says Friday, the June 10th.
to my defense, I think I did that yesterday. So that's not me right now.
Is that 24 hours? Are we in a bender?
No, we're doing fine. Going to the Bruins here. Not besides naming a head coach, Marco Sturm, who coached an HL team, former Bruin, was on the radio, speaking on the radio the other day, and it seems like it's going to be another long year for the Bruins. It seems like he could maybe, you know, he's been around the game for long enough to, you know, direct to where they got to be. But at the end of the day, dude, are they going to get help for Pastrnak? You know, he's talking about guys like Lindholm and other guys who just didn't really, you know, contribute this year when they had full rep of games. I know McAvoy, will be back for the take, and we'll see what Swayman can do. But it just seems like it's an uphill battle. That job, whoever took it, whether you had experience or not, like, you're going to get some leeway. We'll see.
Definitely, yeah. Especially where he's a homegrown guy, I think he'll definitely have some leeway. And it's way too early to punt the season, because there's the entire offseason. Like, the offseason of hockey hasn't started
yet. Yeah. Have you ever seen a team get that loaded in free agency, though, and just, like, bring it to another level?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Because you can pick up like because see, you're thinking big names and superstars. That's not what you win in free agency. Like you pick up the third line who shows up for your team and somehow gets 25 goals.
Yeah, the Morgan Geekies of the world. Like exactly. The Bruins and
you're way too down.
Yeah, I just can't believe Don Sweeney's still like under the Bruins.
That's awful. I know.
That's like insane.
Another great hope was the World Championships. Swayman looked unbelievable. Hopefully he can ride some of that.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I don't know.
All right, dude, what's the point then? What's the fucking point? Yo, the Bruins are going to go 0-82. Adam Nazario, that is his call right now.
I think this season is going to be the worst season in Bruins like in a long time. Like, I have no confidence for the Bruins.
You realize it can't, like, it can only get better? Like, they were just the worst team.
Yeah, but it progressively got, like, that wasn't, the beginning of the season wasn't like, oh, we're going to be the worst team.
No, because you punted and traded everyone.
Yeah, but then I think you're going to start the season not punting, trading everyone, but basically in the same position of that. See, your half glass full mentality, I got to get there. I'm not there yet, but I just don't see it. I don't see how they... I think the win would be between them and the Buffalo Sabres. Who has the better record?
They're where the Patriots were like last year, and you're ready to put the Pats in the Super Bowl. This is Bruins biased strictly. But, nope, it is Bruins biased. That's it.
But besides one guy, who do they have? I mean, I don't know.
Well, the goalie doesn't suck. That's half of a battle.
David Pasternak's, you know, still gonna score like. Probably 40 goals.
Oh, definitely. Maybe even more. Get the job done. I'll be the only one shooting.
Looking forward to the opportunity. Maybe Bruins tickets will be cheaper because, like, Lord knows they haven't been. So
that would be cool. And on their side, you have the very high percentage of the Leafs getting blown up. So that will kick them the fuck out.
Yeah, Mitch Marner in a Bruins jersey? Like, maybe not, but someone else better than that.
I agree. Yeah, no, I literally would want either of those three on my fucking team.
You know how Michael Scott in The Office said, like, sometimes I just start saying something and I don't know where it's going to go? That's how that statement went down. Like, I was, maybe Mitch Martin? No, not him.
I know, seriously.
But, you know, the Garden's going to be loaded, whether it's with the Celtics or the Bruins. Celtics, we haven't talked about the end of the season yet. We need to talk about that. That needs to come to the airwaves. It's been a tough road. Jason Tatum goes down in game four. They don't go down 3-1. They come back home. Everyone's rah, rah, rah. Big win, 3-2. Oh, can we get it back to the Garden? Goes to MSG. They get blown the fuck out by the Knicks. The Knicks have their cakewalk. Oh, wow. Fucking, who's this? Oh, either way.
Smell ya.
Yep. So bottom line, the Celtics underseeded expectations this year. It was honestly disgusting, even though Jason Tatum got hurt. I think they were losing anyways. Credit to Jalen Brunson, played, you know, extremely
phenomenal.
Well.
Phenomenal. Great player.
Karl Anthony Towns, as much shit as he gets, played really well in that closeout game, sixth game. Tom Thibodeau doesn't have a job, which is insane.
Something had to have happened. Fuck
well, it. You know, that their bottom line was they said he rode the starters way too much. Which makes sense, but like up. I don't, yeah, grow up as well. But you know, everyone's laughing how it's going to be a cakewalk, and you know, the Knicks, you know, came to play and we didn't. That's bottom line. The first two games, you have to try to win at least one of those, even though you're up by 20 plus points in both games. And you know, that was the complete outcome of the series. You don't have to point at game six and say there was a blowout game. You're talking about game one and game two that you should have had. This series probably should have been over in five games, and you couldn't let that you couldn't make it happen.
That was probably the worst, like, my least favorite series ever.
Yeah.
Like, any sport.
It's really awkward.
You blew two 20-point leads. Your superstar got hurt. And then you got absolutely massacred to end it. Fucking terrible. Fucking terrible. You might have lost your superstar for all of next season. They're saying, like, that's just, we'll see when that happens. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
That's just, like, even if he plays next year, it's going to be, like, the end of the year. Like, that's just later.
And they packed it in too. They played great in game five. They stretched it to a game six, but as soon as they went down and no one was hitting shots, they packed it in.
Oh yeah, no, that was
Jaylen Brown. No. They packed it in big time.
No, and I mean, Porzingis was a shell of himself, whatever was going on with him. He had like an illness or whatever in a couple of those games. And then Jaylen Brown's just had surgery himself, so clearly I mean, everyone's hurt at that time of year and shit like that. I get it, but a knee surgery is a little more extreme than others.
If you
excuses though. That was a pathetic
Say, if you want to stay on the excuse trail, you can point at Team USA. You can point at the long, you know, grind out last season. It was just repeating is the toughest thing to do in sports.
Yep.
You know, I think Oklahoma City's probably going to win the NBA Finals. I just think that they're, you know, way deeper of a team. They close out really well. But don't sleep on it. Like, we're jumping everywhere right now, but don't sleep on the Indiana Pacers either. But back to the Celtics here. Just, like, what are they going to do in the offseason? They have to get rid of, you know, some contracts. I think Jrue Holiday and Porzingis make, you know, close to over $30 million a year. You have Hauser, who, you know, isn't really a guy who should probably be making between $15, $20 million. I think that's his contract right now. Then you guys have, you know, Pritchard, Brown, Tatum. Like, what should they do?
Well, I think Drew is the easiest one right off the bat because you'll get a haul for him most likely. You get some good anyway.
You say at least one element. Yeah. One element will make me happy.
Yeah, and then Porzingis the same. I'd assume he'd be next. He might. You could flip-flop them into which one goes first, I think. I think it depends on, like, if there's, like, an individual team that wants one or the other more, they would go quicker.
Yeah, I think that, after, like, looking at it a million times and, like, convincing myself, I think the two guys that are, like, definitely out the door are Jrue Holiday and Sam Hauser. I think Sam Hauser, like, he makes more money than Pritchard. He, like, he's probably the number, you know, 5-6 guy making money on the team. So if you can get rid of his contract, that makes it only better. If you can get one of these, I like underratedly think that they might keep Porzingis.
That's possible.
Just because he's such a difference on the defensive, you know, side of the basketball. He makes people think going to the rim, and that, you know, a shot blocker. Of course, they got another one outside of Robert Williams who can't stay healthy, but that's another guy who has championship DNA with him. Whether you like his injuries or not, he helps you win.
I'd love for us to keep him, but he is, like, when you have it between him and Hauser, like, you would rather keep Porzingis and, like, get rid of Hauser. Other teams want Porzingis more than they want Hauser.
No
like,
doubt.
You're getting more phone calls Porzingis. But we can see. If you, I mean, and one thing at least about losing Hauser is, like, where Porzingis, like, the unicorn and all that, Hauser is 3-point specialist. You can just find that. Like, there's another. Like, there is another Sam Hauser out there.
Diamond dozen.
Half a million. Right. Yeah. Like
Mike Miller, JJ Redick. I mean, they're not out there.
Even on
anymore.
The team, if Shireman becomes fucking when he gets hot, he could just
be the next guy.
Like, yeah, he'll be
the next guy.
Completely replace him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can make a haul for, even if you trade Porzingis, you can get a couple guys back who aren't, you know, on team friendly deals, who can make, you know, good opportunities. You're gonna be without Jason Tatum, but honestly, fuck the regular season of the NBA. You look at the Pacers this year; they're number 4 seed. You can get in the ship, fucking no matter how you do it. Just don't get in the play-in games.
Oh yeah. And I mean, that team, they're up there with some of, like, not the championship, but, like, the grittier Celtics teams, and, like, the Pacers, like, they believe, like, there's no fear in that team.
They believe
they could beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. Whether, like, people do or not, like, they do.
Hop it on the NBA Finals. Like, they honestly play to a pace where they honestly want to be losing. So when it comes to the last, you know, 6 minutes or so, they're making up with these threes, you know, closeout defense. That game one was unbelievable. I went back and watched some of the highlights. I don't know what I was doing that night, but I got home on the couch, turned it on. The last fucking play was on with Albert in the shot.
Oh yeah,
I was like, what a time to turn it on.
That's one of the quietest I've ever seen an arena in, like, my entire life.
It warranted too. I mean,
that was a crowd that was winning the whole game. It's game one. The home team should win game one in, like, fucking anything. Yeah. Like, they just, like, should. And to get such a heartbroken defeat, like, silence.
Yeah, they said without those markets, it's the lowest watched NBA Finals game one, like, of all time.
Oh, and it's Indiana.
It's gonna
happen.
Yeah, like, Oklahoma City. But yeah. I personally think, as a basketball fan, it's two very exciting teams.
Oh, no, it's awesome.
Clearly OKC, like, has the great advantage. They should win. But the every night of the Pacers coming out and, you know, shocking people, just gives you that kind of they're at home. I think they're playing tonight. We're recording on a Wednesday night. It's game. It's got to be game three, right? Yep. So it's 1-1 back at home. Seems like they might have things going for them, but
should be electric there. Because yeah. Indiana, you might not think about it, but Indiana fucking loves basketball. Oh, like yeah. Hoosiers and shit. Oh, like
big time basketball town.
Yeah, that crowd's gonna be nuts tonight. That would be a hell of a game to go to.
Yeah,
first game since like Reggie Miller in the finals.
And then you look at the other sense and like what play is like Jokic maybe did it, but like what player has like bona fide won the MVP? Like SGA, no doubt.
Yeah.
Like MVP of the league, and he's about to. I think he's about to win a finals too. Like that hasn't happened, I think, in quite some time.
No, and they're also as like a team, like ahead of schedule.
Oh yeah, like, Jalen young. Williams, Caruso young. Hopping on there is big.
Fucking Holmgren.
Which is that guy seems like he's 100 pounds. You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
In the flesh.
Gonzaga.
Yeah.
You just never know what you're gonna get.
Gonzaga. Adam Morrison's fucking peeling his grave right now.
Two-time NBA champion Adam Morrison.
Oh, wow. That's I didn't even know that. That's even wilder.
Thank you, Kobe Bryant.
RIP. Yeah. On the fighting label, UFC recap, Mirab takes down Sean O'Malley again. I hear it was a guillotine in the third round.
Yes. Yeah, he choked him out. That is one, like, Sean O'Malley, like, we don't need to see that again.
No.
Those two do not have to fight ever again.
Did he get any good? Because I know he's basically like a boxer in there. Like,
yeah, no, he's a hits? Striker. Nothing too special. I think they had the same amount of stand-up strikes, significant strikes, but then there were takedowns and ground and pound by Mirab, and Mirab was just all over him. Mirab's a fucking monster. Like, I think they have him like number two pound for pound right now. Like, and he could very possibly be like number one.
Well, that's the thing,
he's
too.
He's killing everybody.
But the UFC, a lot of these guys who are becoming champions now are very tactical. And that's not so sexy for television. I feel like the ratings for UFC is going down. And I love the UFC. I have so much respect for those guys. Big shout out to Chris Martino, our guy who used to fight. He's in the fight night.
It's not so much the... I think the fighting style that's causing it, but it's the characters. Like their fighting style is like that, but like they're just like
they're not Hollywood
Russian
guys no
dudes.
More.
Yeah, like yeah, you know yeah. what I mean. Like these people don't like do
you're
interviews.
You're not getting
and
a
speak.
Conor McGregor.
Yeah, yeah
or,
exactly.
Or at least like a fun interview with
Joe
Rogan
I mean?
With the mic, Colton. You know,
like you watch like the UFC, like Islam Makhachev's like as good of a UFC fighter as you're ever gonna see in
oh,
your
yeah.
life, but like.
That
you're not going to get a fucking soundbite.
Yeah. That Ilya Topuria guy might be the best mixed martial arts fighter I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's not a John. You can't climb like John Jones. I mean, let's be real. But yeah, good fight night. Any other good fights?
Kevin Holland won.
Nice.
You'll love to see that. He beat Vicente Luque.
Yeah. Just an alum. Like UFC alum.
Like no, yeah. Older. And he's done so many like... This guy does not stand a fucking prayer. Fights
and he
like,
just hangs
like
in.
Hams out. Yeah, and he does it. He shows up. So you do like to see him win. He won on a submission as well. Kayla Harrison just absolutely kicked the shit out of the Juliana Pena.
Juliana Pena, I heard that.
But that brought Amanda Nunes into the octagon, and Amanda Nunes is coming back to fight. Kayla
I heard
Harrison.
About that. That's groundbreaking news.
No,
like, she was retired, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's like. Like,
new school,
that could be
school.
Fight of the year.
New school, old school.
Yeah, but yeah. like that could be Bottom fight line. Of the year, 100%.
That's something I would, because she's like the king shit now.
No, that yeah. fight was supposed to happen like for years, but Kayla Harrison wasn't in the UFC.
Yeah.
She was like dominating fucking everything else. And it just, they never fought each other.
I was
going to
say,
like,
she's really versatile. I think she's
2-time Olympic gold
medal.
Yeah,
I was going to say, yeah. she's in the Olympics. Like her name's just not from, you don't hear that name just from the UFC.
Correct,
she's been
yeah.
every. Around and back, and
but she was like, "Yeah, let's do it." So hopefully that happens as soon. I mean, I don't think that, and that fight could be pretty soon because she didn't like break a sweat fighting Juliana Pena, and Amanda Nunes like, there's no way she's one of the people that like took time off and was like retired.
No,
you know what I mean? Like she was in the gym kicking ass
for
the whole fucking time.
I'm looking at like the. So this weekend is a fight night. Kamaru Usman's fighting in a fight night?
Yeah, Joaquin Buckley.
Wow. That's like for that guy is like low of the low.
Oh yeah. Well
like
yeah.
usually you can make it like with Rose Namajunas, the co-main event versus Maverick. Like that's a good co-main event.
No, yeah, no. Look at times are changing.
Cody G in the main card.
Somehow still on a card.
Yeah. Any other good ones up? Like, what's 317? Ilya Topuria, Charles Oliveira.
Paulo Costa's there.
Yeah, I know this Benil Dariush guy is really good. I remember him. Paulo Costa. Honestly, oh, man. I feel like they need to load this up more. I feel like
that's
these
a good
guys
second fight, though. No, that's the flyweight title.
Pantoja. I've heard of Kai Kara Ferrant.
Pantoja's the champ.
From Pantoja's champ. Who did Benil Dariush fight? Because he fought someone pretty good.
He's been around the block. You've probably seen several of his fights.
He fought Oliveira. Fought Oliveira and lost. Yeah, he lost.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Suzuki's a beast, too. Yep. Like, those are two very fair losses.
Yeah, that's all. I don't need to go down the line of UFCs unless I want to. Max Holloway, Dustin Poirier. I can't wait for that fight. There's two legends of the game.
Yeah, 2 days before my birthday. Buckle up for that
shout
one.
Shout out. Be in Nashville, maybe.
Yeah, that's
possibly you. What's on the table?
Where is it? Dustin Poirier, that might be in Louisiana.
I bet it's in Vegas.
Might go to New Orleans.
Newark, New Jersey. Still down. And then also want to give a big shout out to, we got to get him on the phone or in the studio soon. Bobby Lights Out Lang back in the ring, won his first pro fight.
Huge news. Still got it.
Bobby
Champs
Lang,
here.
Let's look it up. So they fought at Fenway Park. Got the job done. I would love to ask him why he felt like getting into that's Rough and Rowdy. Confirmed. Okay, so they haven't updated this yet. It was against Anthony LaBate. LaBelle, I don't even know his name.
I love that on that under amateur fights, it just had fucking Adam Jones.
Yeah. You gotta at least throw that in.
Yeah, right? Fucking love it.
But it's great to see
shit, Bobby.
Because I think he trains with a lot of pros. I think he's been training with Mark DeLuca and Francis Hogan and friends of the program. So it's good to see that he was like, you know what, if I'm going to wait for Rough and Rowdy, I'm going to go do something else. And I'm sure that would be part of his answer. I'm not going to, you know, put words in his mouth, but good for him for
absolutely.
Especially at Fenway Park, dude. What a fucking, I'm sure his friends were all
out
there.
What a debut. What a place to debut your boxing fucking career.
I wish I knew it was like happening at that time and just timing just didn't work clearly. I would have been there if I could. I'm sure Magic was there in the crowd. He's a Lights Out Lang, you know, he'll run to that spot wherever he is, which I'm not questioning or even like making fun of
ringside.
His loyalty. Loved loyalty. The champ's here. Looking forward to, you know, talking to him soon. And what a big shout out to him. What a great opportunity to get.
Yeah,
there.
Unreal.
He's a tough ass dude. It'd be tough to beat him in a 9-10 round fight instead of a 3-1 minute, whatever the hell that was.
Yeah.
Before we get the TV reviews, we actually haven't brought the Stanley Cup up. We didn't bring it up. During the Bruins, but the Panthers are up 2-1, recording on a Wednesday, you know, June 11th here. Marchand scored the game winner in OT in game two, and then he comes right back, scores the first goal in game three. I think he's got like 6-7 goals now, 14 assists. Last time I checked, he was sitting at +700 to win the Conn Smythe, which is the MVP of the playoffs. I mean,
making a run.
I was like, don't get me wrong. Sam Bennett had a good postseason. Kachuk and Barkov are their best players. But, how about my guy here?
Yeah.
How about Brad
Marchand? Absolutely. Absolutely.
And let's get down to the brass tacks of, who are we rooting for as Boston fans? I think there's no question. I get if you don't like the Panthers because they've beaten us here, but they've owned us. Give it up. If you're a Bills or Jets fan, sure, you hate the Tom Brady Patriots growing up, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, you buy in. And especially on the other front of our one of our legendary players going over and trying to win a ring in his last couple of years, you got to support that. I mean, that should be excuse number one to root for the Panthers, man. I get McDavid, Draisaitl, they deserve to get a ring, but I don't care. I want Brad Marchand.
It's purely Brad Marchand. Like, the second he leaves the Panthers in the offseason, I never want the Panthers to win another fucking thing in my life. Like, do not get it twisted.
I will say, because compared to Tom Brady, I said after Tom Brady retired, I'm never going to root for the Bucks again. And then they got Baker Mayfield. I'm like, kind of a fun team. Kind of a fun team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, and they just like the they're obviously much more high quality of players and more well known, but it's two very good hockey teams. Like, if you're like not watching this, it's two incredibly good hockey teams.
No, it's clear. Like, the I thought the Stars had a chance, you know, to go all the way, and Edmonton spanked them. And then Florida, you know, made quick work of the Carolina Hurricanes.
It reminds me a bit, almost like Patriots Colts, like back in the day.
Oh, yeah. With
They have Manning and, like, the superstars, the big names, the McDavids, the Draisaitls. But, like, the Panthers just have a bunch of bullies.
Yeah. I would love to see the percentage on goals on the power play, because if you give either of these offensive 5-on-4 advantage, dude, they're scoring a goal. I don't care if Bobrovsky's in that. They're scoring a fucking goal.
Oh, yeah. And that obviously goes both ways, because you could have 7 on the ice. McDavid and Draisaitl might score a fucking goal. You know what I mean? Like,
I just think it comes down to execution and goaltending.
Yeah, and Bobrovsky is much better than Skinner. But Skinner has been great this
year. I'm not necessarily saying that they're going to win 5 or anything, but I think, you know, obviously this game is a Thursday or Friday night. This game 4 is pivotal. You know, wanting to go back 2-2 back at home, 4,000 miles away, the longest destination between two NHL teams. The Stanley Cup has happened 2 years in a row. You know, that's impressive stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And shout out Brad Marchand, who leads the league in playoff goals since he entered the league in 2009.
Just an absolute
legend.
No, I like compared to, because like Sam, they're both son of a bitches. Don't get me wrong. But Sam Bennett goes up there trying to hurt people. Brad Marchand just has the best chirps in his back pocket you'll ever see.
Oh, yeah. No, dude, no, that was always one of the best parts of Brad Marchand. Is like, Brad Marchand is literally a Hall of Fame player. Like, not just like the shit-talking little fucking bastard. Like, he is literally going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And I heard this on the radio a couple weeks ago, and it's like, so there's two conversations, one that you should really have and one that pumped the brakes a little bit. And like, Brad Marchand wins his second ring. Like, I think that solidifies him in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's first ballot, in my opinion.
I think he still deserves it. The second one is if he wins it, is he better than Bergeron? I'm saying pump the brakes on that.
No, that's that's box scoring and just like,
yeah,
acknowledging like the trophy room. That is not like if you had eyes and watched hockey, you would just know. Brad Marchand would be like, shut the fuck up.
Brad Marchand would never agree with us.
Yeah.
Although he would probably...
They're closer than you... Like, I'm not saying he blows them out of the water or anything. Like, they're two Hall of Fame players. Yeah. Like, right. Connor McDavid's better than Leon Draisaitl. Leon Draisaitl's one of the best hockey players I've ever seen.
Yeah. Patrice Bergeron is, if not one of the best centermen in our generation. Like, I think that's no question.
Oh, yeah, he was. He is. Fuck Sidney Crosby forever.
Yeah. Playmaker. But, like, center, taking the face off, leading the team. You name it, he had it. Yeah, so I'm thinking Panthers in 6. We didn't do graphics this time around. Maybe we'll, you know, figure that out one time or the other. But I think I had Panthers in 6 from the open.
Yeah, and I'd say regarding both of these teams, like, please, some West Coast team very far away that I don't care about, pay Sam Bennett and get him off fucking Florida.
Yeah, yeah, get him out. Get him out.
Like, San Jose Sharks, step up.
What if he goes to Bees?
I would love that.
Yeah.
But doubtful.
Yeah, last thing before we conclude, any TV you've watched, anything good?
No. Got a rewatch of The Leftovers going on at the moment.
Oh, there you go.
Loving that. And awaiting new seasons of The Bear. Comes out next
week. Oh, yeah, it comes out next week.
Or 2 weeks, maybe. Yeah, I forget the exact
date. Show, I always got to rewatch the like last season before I watch the next season when it's live. Yeah. Just to like really get it.
I'm hoping it goes back to like season 1 and 2, because season 1 and 2 are elite.
Yeah,
three
yeah.
It was definitely the worst. It wasn't bad.
Season 2.
But it was definitely the
season
least.
Season 2 was electric when they had the cousin go to the restaurant.
That
was must-see TV. Great stuff. For my TV reviews, Tyra season 2, Shane Gillis season 1, it was good stuff, but it really didn't get, you know, to a point where you really wanted to. It was just funny. Season 2, they're actually creating like a plot, get a bunch of cameos. They had... they had Vince Vaughn. They had a bunch of different comedians. Just overall great stuff. If you're looking for a laugh, they work. And you had Shane Gillis working at a auto tire repair shop. Just great things. And then also one that you haven't heard of. Not sure if everyone has Apple TV. If you're not, maybe you steal Sean from Quincy's account. But Stick with Owen Wilson. Basically, this retired ex-degenerate professional golfer, trying to figure out how to get money, finds a protege and tries to groom him. It's basically like a golf version, I would call it, of like Eastbound and Down Kenny Powers without like Danny McBride in it. That's the best I can explain it. But I watched the first three episodes. Pretty fucking good.
Still good? Okay. All right. All right. Because no, that's huge, because like it's one thing to be like Eastbound and Down, but like in concept.
Yeah, yeah.
But just, like Danny McBride's like the funniest fucking dude.
This like, is Owen Wilson we're talking about. You'll get a couple oh wows. You'll fucking see him lose some money at the track or something. But like we're not getting Danny McBride, Kenny Powers just fucking sniffing blow off girls and stuff. I don't know. Before we close up, I want to give a big shout out to our sponsors. Law offices of Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. If you're looking for legal proper representation for first-time home buyers or just anything in general, you see this guy, you tell him happy belated birthday, because I believe his was last week.
Yeah, you better.
But he's got you. Whether it's Friday at 12:30 at night, he will fucking bail you out. He will get it going. I'm not saying bail from jail, but closing down on real estate, he's got it.
Yes, real estate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I kind of went too far there.
Choose your ways wisely.
Also, Drifter's Kitchen and Bar, big check sponsors now, official new sponsors, located at 164 Hancock Street, the heart of Quincy Center, where the Clash and Idle Hour used to be. That's where it is now. If you go there, just a blindfold, I would think about, getting there. Pepperoni pizza with hot honey, or even they have a dough burger with fries. If you're, healthy option, I think they got some good salads there. They have like an oyster bar. I know they have like oyster specials. We'll be doing some reviews there soon. We'll probably have a team lunch there sooner than later. A couple beers, couple two tree. It's real artsy in there. Great setup.
Great captain with a beard painted on the wall.
Yeah.
Great place.
Love it.
Vibes are high.
Anything else?
Yankees look great.
They gonna sweep the Sox this weekend?
2-1.
2-1? Wow, you already been defeated, huh?
No.
Red Sox will take one win.
I get that.
That's fair. All right, episode 189 in the books. We'll see you when we see you. Have a great night, everyone. This is Wednesday, June 11th. We'll see you later.
Yup. Yep.